Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
your
is
Your unemployment benefits ran out 2 weeks
what
ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left. Checks
2 weeks
left.
Ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Oh, I want to be rich.
And investment offices right here in Scottsdale, Arizona. It is bittersweet today. It is our last key for the season. And become a voracious reader is our key this week. And it's so important. And it's a great way to summarize the last 3 months, the little trip that we've been on to financial wellness and our future financial independence. Thank you so much for tuning in today. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the program. We broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth radio show every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of achieving financial independence. And today is, like every other fabulous broadcast day, we have an incredible Investor's Edge guest today. I am so excited to welcome the ninja blogger, punchdebtinthefacedotcom. And it is where personal finance and stick figures meet on the Internet. And there are some hilarious yet very poignant, important personal finance information on this blog. And so we are going to be joined with the ninja this hour. So I'm so excited about that. We also have some interesting minutes on your money this week. We have more Ponzi schemes. I feel like I've missed the bandwagon on this or something. SEC's gotten a hold of someone else yet again. It's like every week there's a new one coming up. It's amazing it doesn't hit the regular news. I guess you have to, like, bilk somebody of trillions of dollars in order to make that. But regardless, we have the next one. Also, if you were part of the scam, or I guess part of the victimization of the Raytheon financial fraud settlement or fraud scam, there is a settlement that was announced this week. So we're going to talk about that coming up, as well as car payments. What do you think about car payments? We're going to talk about how you don't necessarily need to be making them. Having a car payment is not necessarily a fact of life, and Liz Pulliam-Weston, my gal from MSN Money, has an on-target article that we're going to discuss today, as well as 5 investing lessons for the Oracle of Omaha. So we're going to talk about that coming up to the show. As always, we will have our regularly scheduled segments of our Millionaire Minute, our key for this week, in the second hour. Again, become a voracious reader. And we also have our nuts and bolts for this week's key. So you want to make sure that you tune in through to the very end of the show so you don't miss that. I have in-studio guests today. My mother is here, also with my newly adopted son, my little baby Chinese Shar Pei puppy, Zhang Chang, who's going to be the new radio show mascot since we had our little contest and we weren't really able to come up with a unique and interesting character for our mascot. I just went ahead and adopted one. So I have a real-life mascot. So you'll be seeing him on the website coming up soon. We'll do a little photo shoot with him this week now that he's home. We have so many exciting things coming up. Before we get too far into this broadcast, I wanted to talk to you a bit about what's coming up. Next season is going to be unreal. We're kicking off next season, which is just next Saturday, for the Saturday show, with January Jones. And I'm so excited because it's our first key as we start over in the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series. And January Jones wrote a phenomenal book, and it's Thou Shalt Not Wine. And it's not about the consuming of the adult beverage. It's about those constant complainers in your life, either you or someone else, and we're going to figure out how to cure women complainers. Isn't that great? So she's going to kick off our new key for next week, acceptance and affirmation. We also have Coco Brown. Famous comedian Coco Brown is going to be joining us as our Unlock Your Wealth protege. Every other season we do financial coaching live on the air, and Coco will be our new financial coaching client. So I'm so excited. She is thrilled to begin the path to financial wellness because as a comedian, she's very funny, but when it comes to her finances, she's not yucking it up so much. She's incurred a lot of debt taking the plunge from moving from the East Coast to the West Coast, and she's challenged because she has bigger costs involved now in coming forward to deal with this. And she thought she was good at money, but the things that she was doing actually perpetuated her indebtedness, and she's ready to climb out. She's ready to accept what's going on and move forward to change it. And for those of you who haven't been with us since last year we did on regular 4th of July Independence Day a Declaration of Financial Independence Day. And this year we're working to make it a national event, and we are starting on July 1st, is now Financial Independence Day. We're working to get these proclamations approved through governors of each and every state. And so Arizona will be issuing us our own little proclamation of Declare Your Financial Independence Day to further the awareness of and increase the level of financial literacy nationwide. So I'm pretty excited about that. We have partnered with iwearyourshirt.com to promote our event. So see lots of tweets, lots of blogging, all about becoming financially independent. And one of the great things about financial independence and making a personal declaration through this show is that, number one, you can receive your own personal proclamation. So all you have to do is visit our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com and make your personal Declaration of Financial Independence. For those folks that sign up for their Declaration of Financial Independence between now and July 1st, you will receive a free, F-R-E-E, copy of the Best of Season 1 CD from our show. This includes over 16 interviews with the top celebrities we had on our first season. And they have been edited down for their content, so all it is the actual interviews. So you get 16 top-notch, juicy interviews to help you become financially well. And all you have to do to receive this compact disc is make your personal declaration of financial independence by July 1st. And that's a $29.95 value. So a $30 value to help push you further along your path to financial health and wellness and your future financial independence. That's what we have. So that's our big promotion that we're doing. We also have lots of interviews coming up, and our YouTube channel is going to be abuzz with some content for you guys to help you become financially on the road to wellness. So we have that coming up. Also on today's broadcast, if you would like to win fabulous prizes, we have all kinds of books autographed from our previous show guests, as well as my book that is coming out, Yes, You Can, and the upcoming Bushido Business are all available. Plus, you can choose from financial coaching, credit report review, identity theft shield protection, and a litany of other things that you could win simply by answering our trivia question. So you're saying, wait, trivia question? Wow, I didn't know. So our trivia question, for those who are regular listeners or E-Zine subscribers, it's always based on a previous show. And this week's trivia question is from our midweek update show. And on Wednesday's midweek update show, we talked about the best coupon websites to surf over to save this summer. So all you have to do is name one of those websites to win. Now, there are three ways you can win. You can call into the show at area code 718-508-9002. You can chat in to win, and the ever-popular, famous, beautiful, and intelligent Kristen Hun, who is in our broadcast production chair, is also our chat room moderator right now. So if you are listening live from our Blog Talk Radio show page, hop into the chat room and share your answer with her. You could be a winner. Now, sometimes our shows do not get answered. Our trivia questions do not get answered during the live broadcast. And because we are fabulously repodcasted through iTunes and a variety of other podcasting networks across the internet, you can email in for your shot to win fabulous prizes. All you have to do is send us an email at trivia@unlockyourwealth.com. That's trivia@unlockyourwealth.com. Now, for the new season, as you make your declaration of financial independence and you get started on the road to financial wellness with us, you probably would benefit from a money tip a day, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. Well, let me tell you how you can get those. Very simply, by following us through social media. So we have a Blip FM channel. We have a Twitter channel. So if you follow us on Twitter at UnlockYRWealth, they limit you to 16 characters, so we lost the OU, but I figured we're getting rid of OUs, so why not get rid of it out of our name? So at UnlockYRWealth, you can follow us on Twitter, and you will receive financial tips, tricks, tools, and information to get you through the day so you can make it to our Wednesdays and Saturday shows. We have so much in store for you coming up on today's broadcast. I'm so excited because I can't wait to talk to the Punch Debt in the Face Ninja. So he is an anonymous blogger, so we couldn't feature his photograph in our electronic magazine this week. We have so much more in store, and I want to tell you about our upcoming membership website. So stay tuned. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We will be right back with more after this.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio show. I am she, your hostess with the financial emotion, your purveyor of prosperity. And it's time for some minutes on your money. So, I am very excited and interested about today's 20 fastest growing occupations. This is by Anthony Balderrama from CareerBuilder.com. And he says, for the past 2 years, as job growth has gone from non-existent to lackluster, workers and job seekers have been waiting to hear good news. And job seekers on all fronts are, well, kind of desirous of that. So unemployment job seekers need to pay the bills and get back into the workforce. Employed job hunters want to get out of dead-end jobs and actually earn competitive salaries. And college students on the verge of graduating are eager to embark on their chosen path and use the education they have just acquired. Right now, the job market, in a word, is a little frustrating. The economy is supposedly recovering, but it's going slowly. And if you're in need of a new job, it's probably too slow for you. You can't wait for several years for things to get back to pre-recession levels. But fortunately, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has identified 20 jobs that are expected to grow rapidly between now and 2018. These occupations are in high demand right now and are expected to continue on this trajectory for the next decade. So, number one, a 72% growth change in biomedical engineers. The number of new jobs is about 11,500 that are out there right now. The reason why this field is growing is the population, as it ages, needs new healthcare equipment, and biomedical engineers are the ones to design that stuff. Average annual salary is about $77,400. So that would be pretty worthwhile. Number two, seeing a 53% growth change, network systems and data communication analysts. Companies will be continuing to upgrade technology, and they'll need to expand their IT workforce. There are about 155,000 new jobs of those available, and they start at around 71,000. So that's not a bad gig. Home health aides are also growing by 50%, about almost a half a million new jobs. The annual median salary is about $21,000. And, as the population gets older and lives longer, home health aides are going to see a rise in demand for assisted living. Personal home and care aides are growing 46%. And, you know, again, people that require more medical attentions but not that of a medical facility, or those who can afford to have in-home health care, are choosing to go with personal and home health care aides, and so that is also expanding. This is an interesting one, up 41%. Financial examiners, because financial institutions are increasingly being scrutinized by the federal government and will continue to be for the next decade, it's going to provide a lot of new opportunities for financial examiners. Some more featured here on the list, that was your top five. Medical sciences. Except epidemiologists, $72,000 starting salary. PAs, physician assistants, they start at $81,000. Skincare specialists, with everybody paying attention to their aesthetic appearance, so skincare specialists are growing. Biochemists and biophysics, $82,000. Athletic trainers, as we become a preventative healthcare society, hopefully, instead of a reactive medication society, these athletic trainers are going to grow almost 40%. Annual median salary, almost $40,000. Not a bad gig. Get to work out and get paid for it. Not a bad deal, if you ask me. Physical therapy aides, dental hygienists, veterinary technologists and technicians, dental assistants, computer software engineers, medical assistants, physical therapy assistants, veterinarians themselves, because people are now willing to spend more money on their dogs. Let me tell you, I am one of those folks. Self-enrichment education teachers. The types of coursework offered in this field are expected to broaden and create new positions for educators. And this is not bad. $35,000 annual salary. Compliance officers round out that list. So if you were thinking about a job change and are looking for an easy opportunity in the marketplace, try one of those 20. We will have the list of those jobs available on our website after the show. All you have to do is visit our website, www.unlockyourwealth.com/20fastest jobs. 20 fastest jobs, and that's the number, numeral 20. 20 fastest jobs. Also, while you're there, you may want to make your Declaration of Financial Independence. I can't say that enough. And if you do, in addition to the $30 value of the complimentary CD that you receive on our first season with hours of our top-notch inspirational investment coaching from our celebrity guests, you will also be first on the list for our membership-driven website that we will be launching August 1st. So we actually have a date, and I'm so excited about that. So the membership is free to join. There are other opportunities for premium membership, but the basic stuff is free, and you'll be able to download every archive we have. You will have every show note available to you, all kinds of goodies. Plus instant access to forums where you can chat with others who are also on their path to financial wellness, just like you. So, how about car payments? Have you always had a car payment? Have you felt like you were always going to have a car payment? it may not necessarily be a fact of life. My gal Liz Pulliam-Weston from MSN Money writes, a simple formula can help you figure out how much you can afford to borrow and how long. If you're lucky, it could be the last time you'll need to finance a vehicle. Now, I have fortunately figured out that that is not the way to go after the last time, and once I paid off my truck, I said, no more, I'm just going to pay cash, and if I can't pay cash, that means I can't afford it. Car payments are a ridiculous level of debt. She says that she had suggested that if you can't pay cash for your next car, you should make a down payment of at least 20% and finance the balance for 4 years or less and make sure that the resulting payment is no more than 10% of your gross income. I actually will take my friend Liz to task and share with you that 10% is the total amount of unsecured debt that you're allowed to have when you go to finance a mortgage. And since all we do is talk about building wealth through real estate here, if you had no other car payment or no other credit card debt or any other kind of monthly payment like student loans or whatever, maybe you could max that 10% ratio out. But I would say to you that it should be no more than 4% of your gross monthly income. So you can calculate that and work backwards, and that's your payment amount. And then you just work it backwards to find out what your interest rate is. And if you put it into your time value of money formula, then you will find that that is the dollar amount you can finance. And it's probably a lot less than you thought it could be or should be, but guess what? It's what it is. And if you are interested in building true, lasting financial independence without having to go out and win the lottery or go get 20 other jobs, then you have to trade your instant gratification for your future financial wellness. So the choice is up to you, my friends. That is what I think it should be. We have so much more in store for you on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Coming up next, we will have our Investor's Edge guest, Punch Debt in the Face, is here. We will join them in just a moment, right after these messages.
Has your cell phone or iPod ever run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Well, now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right now on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X for Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Hi, I'm Tony Stewart, driver of the number 14 Office Depot Old Spice Chevrolet, and you're listening to Heather Wagonhals on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagonhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your hostess with the financial mostest. Your prosperity. Yes, your maven of moolah, and I am so excited. We have an incredible guest today. I stumbled across this blog and was so blown away with the cleverness in which it was written and how poignant and right for the times it is. And so without a long, lengthy introduction, I will let him, in his veil of invisibility, tell you all about his fabulous Punch Debt in the Face blog, where personal finance and stick figures meet. Ninja, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me. This is my first interview. I'm pretty excited.
No way! Oh, well,
yeah.
I'm so excited it's your first.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm losing my interview virginity this morning.
Ooh, that's so naughty. But you got a lot of naughty things going on anyway. You got sexy budgets. You got debt sucking. You've got give me back my $5. How did you come up with the idea for this blog?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I started blogging probably 2 years ago with my roommate, who is a personal trainer. So we figured I'd write about money, he'd write about health, and people would love us. And that was under the blog One Chance to Live. But after a good month of inconsistent blogging, we both burnt out on it. And then probably a year later, I was driving one day thinking about blogging still, because I still enjoyed it, but just didn't want to have to do it to make money and more do it for just actual genuine interest. And while I was driving, I was thinking, I need a better blog name because no one remembers One Chance to Live. And Punch Debt in the Face was divine intervention, and it came to me, and I kind of went with it and started casual, and then as my readership grew a little bit, I got more and more into it, and it's been pretty neat to see it grow over the last year and a half or so that I've been doing it.
It's pretty exciting. I love your I Love Me, and it says, I'm not this arrogant in real life, your logo. I was blown away by your candor and how you kind of just went for this. And so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure.
And
I am 24 years old. I have absolutely no financial credentials. I majored in psychology. I took one econ course in college and hated it. So that is as far as my education goes. Really, my passion for finances started with a conversation with one of my buddies who's a financial analyst for Wells Fargo. And he just kind of shared with me a Roth IRA, and I thought, hey, that's pretty neat. It sounds like a good deal. I guess I'll look into that. And then just kind of started reading some books casually, and the more I read, the more I learned. And then started following some personal finance blogs like Budgets Are Sexy, Give Me Back My $5, Simple Dollar, and things of that nature. And I was really drawn to Budgets Are Sexy because Jay Money, the author of that blog, is very fun, and I like to be fun. And a lot of other personal finance blogs are more cut and dry and, you know, very standard. Here's compound interest and here's how it works. And I figured instead of be dry and boring and just factual, I'd make it a little colorful and humorous and maybe controversial so that people just had a different taste. And I figured I'd see if people were interested, and it turns out I guess some people enjoy stick figures and personal finance combination.
You know, it's you almost kind of have to have a sense of humor with money because our society has overwhelmed us with this, oh my gosh, we have to have everything and we have to have it now, whether we've truly earned it or not. And I think that that's what's so interesting about what's kind of going on in our culture, because it's almost like we needed this wake-up call and to get people to start paying attention. And so shock value is, I think, what really works. And being funny, irreverent, or controversial is what you need to be in order to get people to listen. I know that I pretty much call things like I see them. I don't sugarcoat anything. And, you know, I've been saying for years, and on my show in 2003, someone asked me, when do you think the real estate bubble is going to pop? And I said, it's not the real estate bubble you got to watch for. I said, it's the mortgage markets that are going to pop, and it's going to be more massive and more devastating than anybody could imagine. And everybody looked at me like I was weird and like I had five heads. But the folks that listened to me became multimillionaires as a result of my advice. And they were just average Joe people. But they listened, and even though they questioned my foresight, they still went ahead anyway. And that's what I thought was so great, because everybody thought, oh, my God, this girl is wacky. What is she talking about? This ride will never end. And I was like, yeah, okay.
And now they hate themselves.
Oh, yeah. So those people can't even look at me now, which is kind of funny. So what do you think are your foundational concepts with regard to money management? What have you applied personally that works well for you?
For me, so a little bit about my story. I graduated college. I went to a private university and graduated with just shy of $30,000 in student loan debt. And fortunately, my parents kind of threw me to the wolves when I graduated. And I say that's fortunate because it forced me to learn how to make do with what I had. I was lucky to get a job pretty soon after college. I was making $38,000 a year, but I also live in San Diego. So as we know, the cost of living
like
is pretty high.
$5 a year.
Yeah, so that $38K doesn't go a long way. So right from the beginning, I knew that, you know, I couldn't get a bailout from the bank of mom and dad, and I was going to have to figure out how to make that income work. So I actually took on some part-time tutoring jobs, which paid really well, $40 an hour. So I always tell people, if you need side income, go tutor math, because the demand is great, and it's the easiest money I've ever made. But with that side income and then my normal job, I just made sure I had cheap rent. I didn't want to go buy a new car. I never accumulated credit debt, and it was just really the foundational principles that I operate by is just one, and it's spend less than you make. Because if you do that, then by definition, you're going to be having a surplus of income each month. And with that, I was able to do things like pay down my student loan debt in just 2 years, and now I'm debt-free, and I can start saving for you know, bigger goals, like I paid for my honeymoon in cash. I paid for my engagement ring in cash. We'll pay for our next vehicle in cash. So as long as you spend less than you make, like I said, there's no other option except to have a surplus of money.
And so don't you find that difficult with being bombarded with all of these images of luxury and, oh, you deserve it, and all of that, all those messages constantly coming in from every avenue of the media?
You know, I think for me, I'm, again, fortunate or lucky. I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm weird, but I don't have a sense of entitlement, and that's been true in most aspects of my life. When I moved out and got my first income, I didn't feel like, oh, I need to go buy a new car because that's the standard, or, oh, I can afford a place that's, you know, $1,000 a month rent, and instead I'm paying $587.50. You know, I just had this sense of, this is what I've been given. I need to be responsible with what I've been given and make good choices, as opposed to, well, I've been given this, but I want this, so I'm going to go buy that instead, even if that's going to end up harming my financial situation. So as far as the media and the concept of, oh, you're young and dumb and you should go have, you know, $100 bar tabs every single night and things of that nature, I never bought into it, because I realized that ultimately that's going to lead you to ruins, and I'm very future-oriented in my thought process and think every dollar I spend today affects the dollars I'll be able to spend in the future. So I think, is this dollar that I spend worth it, or should I save it and use it for some of my other goals down the road?
That's some incredible wisdom for a 24-year-old.
Yeah, I actually blogged about it the other day. I took a test in college. Our college required all incoming freshmen to take it. It's called Strength Finders, and it just kind of tells you what your top five strengths are. And one of mine was futurism. And like I said, it's just been part of who I am and how I was raised. As far as, you know, like in college, every test I took it very seriously, because I realized if I failed that test, then I might fail the class. And if I fail the class, then I might not be able to get the job I want because my GPA is lower. And if I don't get the job that I won't be able to have the lifestyle that I live. So I'm fortunate that I think about every decision that I make, how is this going to affect me, not just today, tomorrow, but 12 months from now, 5 years from now, and ultimately, you know, when I die, is this going to be a major decision? Some people probably don't like that, because then it puts a lot more emphasis on every smaller decision, but it's just the way I operate. Everything I do, I think about, how does this affect me tomorrow?
Well, unfortunately, that should be the norm, not the exception.
Right.
That's the challenge. So, you know, I'm fascinated by, where did you get that thought process? Was it from your parents or your peers, or did you come up with it kind of on your own?
I don't know. You know, I've been asked that question a lot. Just the other day, someone asked me on my blog, are you frugal because your parents are frugal? And it's quite the opposite. I mean, my parents make a very generous sum, you know, mid-six figures, and we weren't raised in a luxurious lifestyle in the sense of a very modest home. We always had used vehicles, but at the same time, if I wanted to go to summer camp, I knew that my parents could afford for me to go to summer camp, or we'd take vacations semi-frequently. So I knew my parents always made a lot of money, but we didn't necessarily live a lifestyle reflective of that. And it kind of confused me, because I thought, hey, if my parents are making, you know, $200,000 plus a year, why aren't we, you know, living the high life and driving Lexuses, and why is our car breaking down and things of that nature? And I think for me, I've kind of realized that it's not necessarily my parents are terrible with spending money, but they also didn't have a plan with their money. They just kind of made a lot and spent a lot, but it was in ways that was unseen to me. We just, you know, had bought really fine meat from the butcher shop and things of that nature. And to me, I thought, well, I don't make anywhere near as much money as them, so how am I going to be able to afford some of the luxuries that my parents have? And for me then, that turned into frugalness. Since I don't make as much, I need to be more cautious with the money that I do have so that I can accumulate, save, and invest, and eventually have the ability to buy a really nice tri-tip from the butcher shop.
You know, that is so amazing, because that is totally not the traditional outlook of kids your age. And I can say kids your age because I'm 40. I always wondered how old I had to be before I could say stuff like that. So now, kids your age. But, you know, it's amazing because, you know, in your generation, there's not just Sharon Lecter went over this at the beginning of our season, you know, co-author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and she says it's not even entitlement anymore, it's expectant. And
right.
So most kids feel like they're entitled to what their parents started them out with, and that's where they kind of go nuts.
Right.
You know, we were so poor growing up. I always said that we were so poor, I had to envy the dirt poor kids because at least they had dirt. And I think that that envy grew into like a sense of entitlement. And I envied, and, you know, being one of the seven deadly sins, it certainly got me. Because I envied all of those kids that got to go join the sororities and fraternities and drove their little shiny BMWs.
Right.
I felt like, well, I want to look like that. Even though I wasn't like that, I want to look like that. I want to look like mommy and daddy got me all this stuff. And so I went out and bought it all on credit because I thought that's what rich people did. It never occurred to me that, oh, things don't operate this way, you know. And it's funny that you say that the car was always breaking down. I took auto shop in high school because my mother used to get cheated by so many mechanics that were just, you know, scam artists and shysters. So I learned how to fix cars so I could save my mom money. And my mother, talk about bad money management. Here's one of the things that I learned. She would buy used tires, those retreads, instead of new tires.
Uh-huh.
And so, but like, because they were cheaper, but like every other week we'd have to buy another tire because they would fall apart here in Arizona. And my brother and I got so good. Like, we could change a tire in, like, 7 minutes flat by, like, the age of, like, 11. My brother and I were so good at that. And so I kind of went the other way and buried myself in all kinds of trouble. By the time I was your age, I was in the process of climbing out of debt. So I find that very provocative that you had the foresight to not go in that direction and to become frugal from what you observed. I have a couple more questions I want to ask you, but first we have to take this commercial break. And we'll be right back with more of Punch Debt in the Face, Ninja, coming up on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today. Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Listening to the ninja from punchedintheface.com on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And Ninja, welcome back to the broadcast. I was wondering what you have such a unique perspective in your own life and how you've chosen to live. Is your wife on the same page as you, financially speaking?
Yeah, she's been debt-free her entire life. I always joke, you know, I wrote a blog post once called Wife Equals Financial Asset or Liability with a question mark, not being sure whether, you know, the other half of me was going to be an asset or a liability. And when I sat down and thought about it, I realized, how can I call her an asset when she's debt-free and has some money in the bank and I have $28,000 in student loans and not a lot of money in the bank? And I realized that I'm going to be the liability in this relationship. So that's kind of what led to my wanting to be debt-free before the wedding. At first, I would have probably said, I'll pay off my student loan over a 5 to 10 year time frame, but more just the equality that she was debt-free, and I felt like I didn't want to be a burden to the relationship, so I needed to honor her freedom by me, too, being free. So she doesn't make a large income. She's a substitute teacher here in San Diego, so she doesn't make anywhere near as much as I do, but she's learned how to make do with what she has, and she's never accumulated credit card debt, never had student loan debt. She definitely has the principles. She doesn't have the passion. I can see her eyes glaze over when I try and talk finance with her. And she's very nice and cute, and she'll humor me for a little bit, but eventually I can just tell she's done talking money. So we're similar in our spending habits, but different as far as interest, I guess, in the subject matter.
Well, the spending habits part is super good to have that part on the same page for sure.
Right.
So what was her perspective when you guys were dating and you had all this debt? Was she freaked out by it or?
I don't think so. I don't think she really has a concept of I don't think she really knew what debt was. I mean, she knew people had it, but I don't think she necessarily knew that, you know, it can be as damaging or blood-sucking as it has ended up being for so many families. I mean, her family is very well off and completely debt-free, you know, no mortgage payments. They drive really nice cars, and everything's paid for with cash. So she's always had the perspective that debt's not an option because you have the cash to pay for it. So I don't think that she was necessarily freaked out by my debt. You know, I remember asking her at one point, because I had, you know, kind of one of the controversial things on my blog that people definitely chimed in with their 2 cents. At one point, back in November of 2009, I had, I think, $24,000 in the bank, and my student loan balance was at $16,000. So back in November, I could have paid off my student loan debt with cash and still had, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 in my savings account, but I chose not to because I didn't want to deplete all of that comfort, I guess, of having that money in the bank. And I remember sitting down with Girl Ninja, as I call her, and asking her, hey, this is kind of my situation. I've been thinking about just paying off my debt tomorrow, or I've also thought about holding on to it and, you know, keeping this cash reserves. What do you think? And she just basically looked at me like, why the heck are you asking me this question? Because I have no opinion. So I don't think that she's ever really understood the bind that debt can put you in, because she's never been in that situation.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
interesting.
Well, I'm glad things worked out between you and Girl Ninja, because money can be one of the biggest burdens on a relationship, and one of the leading causes of divorce, no less, is finance.
Yeah.
And I think that you made a great decision keeping an emergency fund, because you never know what's going to happen if you
right.
know, if your legs get knocked out from underneath you. I remember early on I had this incredible friend, and he was always kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants entrepreneur, and he always had cool houses. And, you know, he would buy a house, fix it up, live there, and then rent it out and buy another house. And his philosophy is he never had more than a $100,000 mortgage on any of his properties, even as he bought really upscale properties. And his philosophy was, if I get fired tomorrow, if my business fails tomorrow, if I can't function as I am, and I have to go flip burgers for a living, I need to make sure that I can service that debt.
Right.
And so he always lived in that kind of fear. He had a huge emergency fund set up so he could live comfortably in his same lifestyle for 6 months, and he always never ran more than $100,000 on his mortgage, and so he just always saved or parlayed his previous properties to purchase new ones, but never went over that threshold.
Smart
so
right there.
I'm glad that you made that decision to still pay off your debt, but to be systematic about it and keep that emergency fund.
Right.
So as we wrap up our conversation today, what do you see for the future for our economy and for how things are going with people's lifestyle choices? Is it improving?
You know, I don't know. Like I said, I get frustrated with this sense of entitlement, and I don't think it's necessarily even, you know, especially with people my age, people graduating college, have this sense of, well, I have a degree now, so I need to be making $50,000, $60,000 a year, and until I get that, I'm going to live off mom and dad. And for me, it's, well, I graduated college, I have a degree, but so do millions of other people, so I'm going to take what I can, and by my work ethic, I'll prove to people that I'm worth being paid $50,000, $60,000 and upwards. So I think we need to change the sense of, well, I don't have a large income, I have a lot of bills, but I'm going to have a cell phone. And I say that because people will tell me I'm broke, I'm in huge debt, and I can't pay my bills, but they still have a cell phone and a car payment and internet and cable. And it's all these things that people have convinced themselves they're entitled to or that they can't do without. And I can tell you right now, if I lost my job tomorrow, I wouldn't be doing this phone interview because I'd cancel my cell phone plan. I'd cancel my internet plan. And I would start roughing it, I guess, so that I could pay some of my more important bills like dining and groceries and rent payment and things of that nature. So I think first we just need to change perspective as to what is a luxury and what's a necessity. And food and shelter are necessities, and many things after that are luxuries. As far as for the future of America, I have people ask me all the time when I invest in my Roth IRA, and a lot of kids my age, I try and convince, hey, this is a great option, you need to be looking into this, they all say, well, what about the markets, what about the markets, what about the markets? I tell them, you know, I say, I have no idea. Maybe the markets do go down for the next 40 or 50 years until we plan to retire. But I always tell them, if that's the case, we're going to have bigger things to worry about than our portfolio, because if the American economy goes downhill for the next 40 years, probably means we need to start learning how to speak Chinese or something like that instead, because we've probably been invaded and taken over. I'm a huge believer that we'll come through this, and again, if we don't come through it, my investment portfolio is not going to be my biggest concern.
Yeah, having to learn a new language and live in socialism is probably what your biggest concern is going to be.
Right.
Well, it's been a great conversation that we've had. I have one final question for you. And
yeah.
What are your long-term goals? How far out have you planned for you and your wife? And do you have kids on the horizon? Or are you guys going to just...
Oh, you better not say that word around around me or her. I think here in San Diego, it'll be easy. We plan to live in San Diego for probably another year, and then we'll head up to the Seattle area where we're both originally from. Down here, I don't think kids will be in the near horizon because most of our friends down here are unmarried and they don't have kids, so we'll be a little different. That said, once we move to Seattle, most of our friends in Seattle are married and they are having kids, so I think she'll get pretty antsy, but I've kind of bound her to a two-year no-child contract.
Nice.
Excited about the dual-income, no-kids aspect of our marriage. Other than that, we don't really have, we have some goals, and those goals are take a vacation every year, whether it's a smaller vacation to Las Vegas or Palm Desert or something like that, or maybe a nicer vacation like Hawaii or abroad or Europe or something like that. So every year we'll take a vacation and save for that. And then I kind of set up a goal to, over the next 5 years, I guess the shorter term, acquire $100,000 in savings. And once we have that $100,000 in savings, then we can start looking into buying a house. And that doesn't mean that we'll use all $100,000 for the down payment, but that's the number that I'd feel comfortable with, because then we'd have a flexible down payment. We could use $80,000 of it or just $20,000 of it, depending on interest rates, the market, things of that nature. But after the $100,000, it's pretty boring and straightforward. It's just 15% of income and 10% tithe to the church, and everything else is just open for discussion, I guess.
Nice. Well, I have one more question. It's actually from a listener in our chat room, and Kimber Turner would like to know, well, first off, she says that she loves the light, playful, humorous approach that you take, and she wants to know if you seem to get more feedback from younger people.
I don't know as far as age group. I mean, I think that on my blog it's relatively more diverse than I would have thought. I think I've wrote a few blogs explicitly that state, you know, I'm aware that I'm a little immature, so if you're older, this may not be the blog for you. But I think my age is relatively diverse. What I've been surprised about is the gender. Quite a few more females, at least as far as the commenting goes, seem to be responsive to my blog. I think that may be because I talk about Girl Ninja quite a bit in relationships, and I think girls like to see a guy's sarcastic or humorous take on a relationship, and the controversy, you know, when I will blog about a woman's role is to be in the kitchen, not in seriousness, but more just to stir a little bit of controversy. It's the women that like to chime in and say, you know, you're a egotistical pig and things of that nature. So I don't know age group, but definitely a larger female readership. So thank you, women.
Yeah, well, and I made a mistake on the gender of my chat room guest, too, and Kimber is actually a he. I just thought that maybe Kristen didn't type in Kimber Lee. So I made a mistake. I thought it was a typo. She actually did it right. So forgive me for that faux pas. Whoops, open mouth, insert foot. But that's really interesting. You know, I'm a big proponent of, you know, if women are going to choose the path of having children, you need to raise them and not have them like you have another Chanel Henry.
Right.
So I'm kind of at that same camp, and I don't have a problem wearing my heart on my sleeve and telling men, get off your duff and go be responsible, and you go out and make the money so you can provide for your family, too.
Right.
Well, I'm so glad that you stopped by our show. If folks want to sign up to pay attention and follow your blog, where do they go?
Punchdebtinthefaith.com. Facebook.com, and everything else, if they want to become my Facebook friend or follow me on Twitter, those links are all on punchedatinthefacebook.com, and they can subscribe, or they can come tell me they hate me and they think that I'm an idiot, because any comment is a good comment in my eyes.
Well, I love you. I think you're probably one of the more brilliant men of your age group, for sure. And for those of you who are driving around and are unable to write down his website, as always, we have our show guests posted up on our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com. We have so much more in store for you coming up. Plus, we have our final key for this season, Become a Voracious Reader. We also have our Millionaire Minute and so much more. Stay tuned. You're listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more after this.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the Keys to Riches right after this.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now! For $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio for this Saturday, June 26th. We're officially into summer. The thing off of my computer screen as I'm trying to get to the next thing I'm looking for. I adore technology, or at least I keep telling myself that, so someday I will believe it, like my affirmations, and maybe it'll work for me.
Tell me.
Yes, it's that time again for the Millionaire Minute. This is the segment where we crawl into the heads of the top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tools you can incorporate into your life right now today. And I thought, since it is our final key for this week and we are going to be recommitting ourselves or committing ourselves for the first time to financial wellness next week, I thought, what a poignant opportunity, in summary, for us to think about not just being millionaires ourselves or necessarily in pursuit of being a millionaire, but how to seek out those that can help us. In addition to this broadcast, wouldn't it be so super fabulous. If you had a millionaire mentor, have you ever been disappointed by a mentor that you selected that you thought would show you the path to being financially well? Well, for those of us who have struggled in our businesses, know that not everyone who has mentored us has been a true millionaire mentor. Many of us believed sheepishly that we were being led down a road to success by a super fabulous mentor. But we continued our uphill battle without success. It seemed maybe that our mentors were only looking out to further their own personal success story and not truly interested in ours. If you're in the MLM world, perhaps they were only interested in building massive downlines for themselves so they could create larger numbers, not necessarily interested in you or your business. The problem was that the mentor was not interested in developing successful proteges, but more or less concerned about creating their own financial wellness. And sometimes people fail to realize the importance of lifting up others, because when we lift up others, so too we shall rise. So there are certain qualities and characteristics of true millionaire mentors, and these qualities all revolve around the sincere desire to help the protege fulfill their dreams. I love being a mentor, and it's so funny because I never knew, like, at what age can you possibly be a mentor? And I've actually been mentoring for the last 10 years, unofficially, not really realizing it, and probably for the last 3 or 4 officially, as I have gained credibility in the marketplace and as others have recognized me as somebody who has influenced their success. And so I said, oh, I guess I'm now officially a mentor, although I will always consider myself a protege because I may know a lot, but one of the things that I do know, and the first thing that I do know, is no matter how much I know, it's not enough. So what qualities should we look for when selecting our millionaire mentor? All protégés should look for this number one quality, is that they must have passion and enthusiasm. And not just for what they do, but to lead you down the road step by step. They need to be passionate about mentoring. Just because you're a millionaire doesn't make you a millionaire mentor. You must have enthusiasm to help other people, and you must be a coach and not a teacher. You must allow people to make choices, but give them advice and try to steer them in the right direction and help them refine the skills that are making them successful today. Number two, you need to have a mentor, a millionaire mentor, with motivation. A true millionaire mentor will continually motivate you. He will help you recognize your enormous potential that you perhaps cannot see right now. He will help you solidify your goals. Make sure that they're high enough that you can't easily achieve them, so there's value inherently in them. When we don't set the bar high enough, the value to achieve them isn't there, and we will likely fail because it's too easy, it's too simple, because those are the things that we typically don't do. In the most incredible of times, in the most auspicious of times, we do not rise to the occasion, we default to our training. And so their experience and their motivation will prove to be valuable, because when we default to our training, it's not as high as we can truly rise. So you need somebody who can keep you inspired and confident that you will be successful. That's something that I wrote about in the 7 Elements for Self-Empowerment in our Yes, You Can book. And it's so important. The third thing is experience. Your millionaire mentor will have masterful experience in the business arena you choose to have success in. He will be, or she will be, recognized as an authority and an expert and a true virtuoso in their field. And they will quite possibly be known globally for what they do. And as a true master, that is somebody who has tried and failed and tried again and kept going, and as a result have found success. And they can help you shortcut that road to financial wellness for yourself and your family simply by sharing what not to do. Number four, accessibility. A true millionaire mentor will be someone who is approachable and available for you. It does you no good to call someone a mentor if you can't have access to them on a regular basis. You can pose a question knowing that it'll be answered. They will be open to your suggestions or concerns that you may have, and they will take the time to develop a relationship with you. It means that your mentor is in touch with what you need or desire and is willing to meet those requests. And last but not least, a commitment. A true millionaire mentor has one goal in mind at any given moment, and that's to help lead you each step until your final goal becomes reality. He is by your side through all of the trials and tribulations. He doesn't let you give up. He continually reassures that your success will be there if you follow his proven blueprint. Because he's been down that road before, he can make sure that you don't take the wrong turn along your path to financial wellness. So, fully and completely integrate these ideas for mentor selection now. See yourself choosing your new mentor for millions in this way. Look forward into the future and watch how differently people will respond to you with the influence of your new millionaire mentor. Imagine yourself with these successes already. Now, create some affirmations with these tools about millionaire mentors to reinforce what you've just integrated into your personality, and that's your Millionaire Minute. For more millionaire nuts and bolts, please tune in to our Tuesday show at 6:30 in the morning for a fabulous 15 minutes of tips, tricks, tools, and information you can incorporate right now so you can start your day the millionaire way. We have so much more coming up for you guys. We have our Keys to Riches. Yes, it's on its way. Plus our nuts and bolts for the Keys to Riches and our final thoughts about our Declaration of Financial Independence and how important it is coming up.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the Keys to Riches, right after this. Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and there's some stupid ad that keeps popping up, and I can't get into my switchboard. So imagine light, playful classical music playing in the background as I'm talking to you. Yes, it's fabulous. Yeah, I'm kind of stressed out about that right about now. But anyway, you are listening to the Keys to Riches segment on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. If you are a new listener, welcome to the broadcast. Each and every week, we feature a new key in our Keys to Riches financial wellness series. And simply put, the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but it also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And this week is our final key. I can't believe it. We are here at our final key of the season, and we are at Become a Voracious Reader. And for those of you who have been with us since the beginning of this season, oh my gosh, you have come so far. Truly, you need to take a step back and pat yourself on the back, because what's so amazing is that 13 weeks is a long time. 3 months ago is when we started this. 3 months ago. And now, look at where you are. Our first key is acceptance and affirmation. And for the folks that have been with us this whole time, said, you know what, it doesn't matter where I am. I just need to accept the fact that I may not know enough about money management, or I may have made some mistakes. And in either case, I need to put the line in the sand and say, today I'm going to accept that I've made mistakes with my money, or I don't know enough about money to make mistakes, but I am going to make it a point to become educated in the realm of personal finance management and create financial health and wellness for me and my family. The financially healthy family is going to be a tight, successful family. Money is not a problem. It's never an issue. And when families talk openly about their finances, you will find that everybody has a pitch-in type of attitude, and everybody works for the greater good of the family when you can create this atmosphere. And so what we did is we accepted our current financial lot, but knew that we had the power to change it. And until we have that internal knowledge, that confidence that comes with successful money management. We started an affirmation process that brought us to the confidence level now, 3 months later, that we have with regards to our financial wellness and money management skills. Then we took action and made assessment, and we did an organic assessment by not creating a budget, but by just on the surface analyzing our finances by saving our receipts, not looking at them, but saving them for a period of time. So not only could we analyze what we're spending our money on, but when and why. The big thing is why. And that will help us when we get to our break the budget key. Then we took and we set our goals by creating dreams with deadlines. And we used sensory imagery to help make those dreams so concrete in our minds that there'd be no way we couldn't achieve them. And we set them just slightly out of our reach, so we would have to climb and stretch and go further than we have currently gone in order to achieve them. Then we found out knowledge is power, but not knowing is powerful. And we learned to assess our strengths when it comes to money management and delegate our weaknesses. The next thing we did is, after we were coming so far, we learned how to take emotion out of the picture when making spending decisions, just like the punch debt in the face ninja was talking about. And we learned to operate our finances more like a finely tuned business than somebody who's emotionally engaged to the money they have just made. Then we learned how to hope for the best, but plan for the worst, and understand that a well-laid plan B almost ensures our success at plan A. And by considering what if, and we answer those questions, we will not be surprised if those situations come along. And now, because we have made those decisions about what next, because we are not emotionally engaged to the situation, we can effectively respond as opposed to emotionally react when things don't go as we planned. Then we learned how to break the budget, because budgeting is like dieting, and it's something you go off onto and off of, and it almost always seems to get worse when we go off of them, maybe potentially putting ourselves further behind than where we were to begin with. And then we learned, after we created this fabulous savings and spending plan, saving first for a reason, we learned not to make seasonal exceptions because we came so far, and we learned how to use the power of etiquette and good manners to appropriately give and receive without feeling intense obligation to go tit for tat or overspend on activities seasonally. Then after that, we learned how to create or recreate our credit if we have bruised it along the way. We learned to remember real estate and how to structure our savings and spending plan to start the asset accumulation process through real estate, and learn how to appropriately leverage ourselves for financial success. And then as we started to pick up speed, we learned how to forget the perfection principle and focus on the progress of the process. And once we learned how to forgive ourselves if we make mistakes or if we didn't achieve our goals because certain things happened to us beyond our control, then we learned the three R's and how to practice the three R's. And that was last week: review, revise, and recommit. We have like this little triad, this little trilogy, or the trinity, the holy trinity of personal finance. And these are the questions you need to ask and answer for yourself: where I am, where I'm going, and what's the difference? And by taking a personal financial accounting regularly, by doing balance sheet, profit and loss statements, and measuring them against our current goals, we learn how to stay with a long-term goal, because financial wellness is immediate once you get the ship righted, but financial independence takes some time. And how do you stay focused for some kind of intangible goals like money? Money is, you know, it's not a physical goal. It's like it's a tool to accomplish other things. And so how do we go about that? And then once we do our evaluation of where I am, where I'm going, and what's the difference, then we learn to recommit ourselves, because that's the way we're truly going to feel supported and have the staying power to see through those long-term goals. And we do that by just revisiting our dreams with deadlines and make sure that we recreate all of that emotional imagery and stay engaged in the process. The ninja was so wise for his young years to be able to think ahead his financial future and say, am I trading my financial future for instant gratification? Or is this going to further me along the path and keep me financially well for years to come? Unbelievable wisdom. Now that brings us to this week's key, to become a voracious reader. And it's so important that whether or not we have a college degree, whether or not we like reading, we must read. And we must change our perception of reading, and we must actively embrace it and seek out reading, because that is our key to evolution, personally, professionally, and ultimately financially. I say this for several reasons. First, when we read good writing, we cannot help but be impacted by those words we take in. Our value systems can be influenced. Our decision-making patterns can be influenced. We can learn or consider another perspective we may not have held previously, all through reading. You know, I used to be heavily involved in the political process when I had more time on my hands. Having a hit radio show kind of cut the social time out of the picture that you can involve and dedicate to other things. But in my 30s, I was really involved in the political process. And while I belonged to one particular political party, I was all about the engagement of the process. And I didn't care if somebody was Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, it didn't matter to me, just as long as they participated. I used to not have any respect for folks that would make political commentary without a party affiliation or being active in the voting process. I don't care what your political party evaluation is, but in order to be engaged in the conversation, I want to be having an intellectual debate with someone who actually has the power to vote in the direction that they're supporting, because then I can possibly persuade them to my side if they're a voter. But why engage the process just to espouse my wisdoms and political leanings if I can't have influence with that person? So that was kind of like always my deal in the 30s. And one of the things that I did was I subscribed to the other popular parties' website, and I signed up for all their little emails and stuff like that, and everybody thought I was nuts. But I'm like, hey, how can we have an effective argument in our favor if we don't have some glimpse into the other guy's perspective? It blew people away when I would share this with them. They're like, what? That's so kooky. Like, they couldn't mentally embrace that. Many didn't, but those that did were like, wow, that's so on target. And what they started doing is they took it to the next level, and they took that theory and that concept, and they started subscribing to their professional competitors' newsletters and magazines. And instead of just selling whatever widget they did or offering whatever product or service they did, they paid attention to what the others were saying, so they knew that they could differentiate their voice in the marketplace. So for professional reasons, if you were looking to evolve, see what others are doing and make a left turn. Go the opposite direction. Always be a part of the scene. Be the leader of the pack. And always march to a different drum. And that's an incredible book about community building from M. Scott Peck, by the way, is A Different Drum. But reading, oh my gosh, I love to read. If you could pay me six figures to sit on my butt and just either go to school or read and just tell you about what I read, that's what I would do all day, every day. I still read all day, every day, but I don't get paid to do it. Well, I guess I get paid to do it because then I interpret that information to all of you folks, I suppose. But anyway, I love reading. I love learning new things, considering new ideas, ways, and perspectives, especially processes, because, you know, the more I do, the more I want to do. The more I read, the more I want to read. The more I exercise, the more I want to exercise. And I just kind of get engaged when all of those endorphins, all those happy hormones get dumped into my body and I'm feeling fabulous. And reading great writing does that for me because it sets my mind in another direction. It helps me see things from a different perspective that I can apply to other areas of my life, not just the areas that I just currently learned in. Another thing that you cannot help to avoid, it just goes automatically. When you read great writing, and I'm not just talking some just crappy blogs on the internet because there's a lot of garbage out there, but truly great writing where sentences are formed properly, where there is an eloquent use of vocabulary, where people enjoy linguistic patterning, and you read that, you are automatically shifted to a new level. You cannot help but grow. You will grow when you read great writing. One of the greatest things about reading great writing is if you've ever been in a social situation or a conversation and you're being engaged by someone and you just don't have a comeback, you don't have a retort, a reply, a response, you don't have something else to say, you're reaching for words that just aren't there. Maybe your thought patterns aren't there or aren't able to give you that. But if you read great writing, perhaps you expose yourself to the right words that you will need at just the right moment, and they will come to you brilliantly and effortlessly, and your level of articulation and expression goes up. Now, remember what we talk about in neurolinguistic programming and how patterning for success and all that goes on, that communication is 100% your responsibility, not to get your point across, but to elicit the right result. Communication isn't a 50-50 deal. If you're participating in a communication with me, it's 100%, 100%. And especially if you are trying to persuade me to do something, whether it's a spouse trying to persuade someone to take the trash out or to put something away regularly, or if you're trying to persuade your boss into this new campaign or promotion or advertising idea, or maybe you're trying to do something philanthropically and you're trying to convince someone to be a donor, it doesn't matter what you're communicating for. Communication will always be 100% your responsibility. And it's not a 50-50 two-way street, okay? It's a true 100%, 100% collaboration. And this is not about you. You have to set aside your ego when you communicate because the true ego stroke isn't about getting your point across, but it's eliciting the right result. So if you want someone to join your political party or cause, or if you want your boss to enjoin this new campaign that will bring in more revenue, you have to make sure that someone sees that. And it's not about your idea being right or your concept or you. It's about getting them to do what you want to do. And if you have the right words to say at just the right moment, You can do that successfully simply by repositioning yourself in the conversation and saying, this isn't about me going, rah, 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 me, beat on my chest, thump, thump, this is what I know, aren't I so smart? And now you have to listen to me, because someone say, okay, and it goes in one ear and out the other. And then you tell them to do what you just shared with them they were going to do, and they're like, no, I don't think so. And it's because you were concerned about getting your point across. Think about what a paradigm shift this is for you. If you start all of your communications from the perspective that this isn't about me getting my point across, it's about eliciting the right result for them. So instead of saying, I want to tell you all about my product, service, idea, whatever, concept, and you start thinking in terms of, how do I get this person to say yes to my product, service, idea, concept, whatever? And I'm saying whatever because I can't think of any more things. Because I haven't done enough reading, clearly. And I can't reach for those right words right now. But consider that. Consider how differently you would structure your conversations. I'm going to give you a brilliant example of a conversation that went completely sideways from a salesperson to my brother. This is so funny. This is like 20 years ago. My brother went to go buy a new truck. And the guy who was the salesperson just kept barfing up all of these great, you know, features and the benefits of these features. Features, benefits, features, benefits. And he's going around, and my brother already knew he kind of wanted to get this truck, so, like, he already kind of had made up his mind. So he wasn't even, like, halfway into this spiel until the gentleman got to this one particular feature and was talking about the benefit. And the feature was a detachable tailgate. And supposedly the benefit was that you could take it off whenever you wished. And my brother said to him, yeah, I know about detachable tailgates because that's how my sister's tailgate got stolen off of her truck. So think about that. And had that salesperson been truly concerned about eliciting the sale out of my brother, instead of telling him all about the truck that he knew and showing how fabulous and important he was as a salesperson, he was like, well, I guess that's not quite a benefit then. That probably doesn't interest you, does it? My brother's like, yeah, pretty much. That's not a feature I'm looking for. If that salesperson would have been remotely concerned with selling a car to my brother and what was important to my brother by eliciting his criteria for buying, then he could have focused on all of those things, avoided all of the things like the detachable tailgate that my brother wasn't thrilled to have because mine was stolen from work one day, and there was this epidemic of Nissan tailgates being stolen because they cost like $800 to replace. So when yours got stolen, you went and stole another one back. And so I got mine popped. Greatest violation of my life. I never had felt so violated than when I had that stolen from me. But if you just consider things in your life that you would like to change, and if you just varied your approach, and instead of trying to impose your will in a conversation, which very rarely works, like they always say, you can get more flies with honey than vinegar. You can hit somebody over the head with your concept until you bludgeon them into submission, if you can get them there. Or you can actively take an interest in what's important to them and use what's important to them to sway them to your point of view based on your knowledge of your subject. And how do we do that? By exposing ourselves to great writing. Because as soon as we elevate ourselves through reading great writing, we elevate our ability to communicate. We can connect with people on levels not previously achievable until we improved our reading skills. It's so amazing. Laying your head on the book does not work. You must open the book to truly get the benefits. And you know what? It's very simple, because it doesn't matter whether it's fiction or nonfiction. Okay? It doesn't matter what it is that you're reading. Just that it is great writing, that the author themselves put forth quality content to stimulate your thoughts. Because fiction or nonfiction, whether it's true or not, is not what's important. It's how the words are put together that make all the difference. And that, for you, will make all the difference. And if you can communicate better, imagine the doors that can be opened in your personal lives. For example, like the punch debt in the face ninja, he had to go to Girl Ninja and talk about his money. If you read great writing, you would then have the words to reach to. And with this concept of knowing that conversation isn't about imposing your will, but about eliciting the right result, and you read great writing, and now you approach the conversation that you need to have. Maybe your spouse is the debtor, and you need to have a conversation about curtailing spending. Wouldn't it be great if the words were there, if you knew how to communicate, if you knew what was important to them, how to elicit that criteria? If you can do that through reading, it's so phenomenal. We're going to take a real quick break, and after we return, we are going to go into the specifics of voracious reading, how you can become a voracious reader, and we have, we're wrapping it up. We're almost to the end of our show. You are listening to Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more after this.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966 9420 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Everyone, I have my switchboard back. How fun is that? You are listening to Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and as your purveyor of prosperity, let's continue to talk about becoming a voracious reader. Reading is so valuable. There are so many people that go to school and then figure, oh, I never have to read again until they get out of school. And then they find themselves in financial pickles because they never read. They never expanded their knowledge base. They never read contracts, legal commitments, obligations that they made. And then they find themselves in trouble, and then they go, well, I didn't know that. Really? My mortgage is jealous? And they had no idea that their payment was going to double after 3 years. Or they didn't realize that that 90 days same as cash meant that if you didn't pay cash by that 90th day on the 91st day, all 3 months of interest would accrue anyway because they never read their agreements. People haven't read their insurance policies. They have no idea what they're covered for. They think health insurance is a blanket deal, and then they wonder, oh, my gosh, I have to pay $1,000 for this X-ray? Because they didn't know, because they didn't take the time to read. Reading is so vital. And reading stimulates conscious thought and questions. When you read, you can now question more effectively because you have more information. And it's so important to focus on bringing that information into your practice, your personal finance practice, your professional practice, whatever you do for a living, whatever you do philanthropically. The late Jim Rohn and one of my co-authors in the Yes, You Can book used to always say, if you read a book a week, you'll be an expert in no time. If you read a book a week for 10 years in your chosen field of study or practice professionally, you will be the leading expert, the world-renowned person. Your ability to do business will be on such an exponentially different level than the rest of them. You will outrank all of your colleagues in the contacts that you make, in the business that you do, in the size of your transactions. You'll blow them all out of the water. Did you know that the average professional in any given field has read less than 3 books on their given profession? Less than 3 books. I don't know about you, but when I'm dealing with real estate professionals, and I find that because I'm in this industry, I notice it more, but I know it occurs in all sorts of industries. But think about this. Real estate is the single largest financial transaction any one person or family can make. And if the average real estate professional has read less than 3 books about the business of real estate, would that make you nervous? It would send me running to the hills. I would be blown out of the water if someone tried to convince me that they were an authority in the field and I should be doing business with them. How can I possibly do business with somebody who's not an expert? Why would I? Why would I jeopardize the single largest financial transaction in my life? And that's just one example. What about your attorneys? What about your doctors, your dentists? What about all the people that you reach to as professionals? If they've read less than 3 books in their chosen field after they graduate, what do they know about new techniques, new laws, new information, better ways of doing things? They don't. And you don't either if you haven't chosen to read more about what you do. You can elevate your career not by going and taking another class, but just reading books on people who have been there and done that. Remember that the key to the voracious reading is that you're reading quality writing from quality authors. And you can search that by ranking. It's very simple. The internet is a fabulous place to start to see how significant that particular author is that you're considering reading. So that's it for this week's key. Are you all ready for your nuts and bolts? Do you have pencil and paper ready? Because I am ready to give you your nuts and bolts. Our key statement for this week is that knowing that communication is 100% my responsibility to elicit the right result, I know that by simply reading great writing, I can elevate my ability to communicate more effectively. Our key affirmation for this week is so simple, and that is, I am a voracious reader of great writing. I am a voracious reader of great writing. And for those of you joining us for the first time, we write down our affirmations and we say them several times throughout the day. The first time that we say our affirmations is right before bed. We pull out our affirmation sheet and we read them slowly out loud to ourselves with meaning and emphasis. And that sets up our subconscious mind to work all night on how do we bring these things into fruition. And then when we wake up rested and refreshed after a great night's sleep, the first thing we do isn't let the dog out, isn't get the kids breakfast, isn't roll over and kiss the spouse. No, it is to pull out our affirmations and read them out loud again to ourselves to focus our conscious mind on our higher purpose for the day. It's not chasing around doing errands, picking up the dry cleaning, dropping the kids off at band practice and soccer, or going to work, or whatever the litany of items that you have to do every day just to survive your day is. No, your higher purpose is to create financial wellness and freedom for you and your family, because choice comes through financial wellness. The freedom to do what you want to do when you want to do it is the power of choice that you have when you're financially healthy and well. And so we get that through the power of affirmations. And finally, we would like to say our affirmations anytime we encounter negativity throughout the day. Because what we think about, we bring about. And if we let somebody rain on our parade and we start a pity party, we're not focusing on our higher purpose now. So we need to pull out our affirmation sheets and we need to reread those. And we need to focus on our higher purpose, and that's creating financial wellness in our lives today. Be financially well today. And what's so powerful about this is sometimes I feel like that's all I do all day long is say affirmations because I've got somebody trying to rain on my parade, it seems like, at every turn. And then some days I hardly say them at all, but the minimum once in the morning and once at night. So each day is different. If you begin to incorporate affirmations into your life, you will see a markedly different change in yourself in 30 days. So start your road to financial wellness today and begin your affirmations. And our key action item is to find a book in a category that we enjoy, personally enjoy. It doesn't have to be about your career, because we want to emphasize the enjoyment and the value of becoming a voracious reader. So pick a topic that you like, and this afternoon, go to the bookstore, whether you go in person or online. I like going in person because then you can go to the little espresso bar and have something to drink and sit there and peruse and, you know, pick up a few books and read through them a little bit to see which one you like the best. And get yourself a book today. And if finances are a consideration for you, go to the library. It's a wealth of resources, and your library cards are my favorite four-letter word, free, F-R-E-E. How great is that? So that is your key action item for this week, is to get out and acquire your first book today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, next year, today. Whatever's going on in your life, put it aside to make it a point to go become a voracious reader today. I am looking forward to next week. Thank you for joining us for this season. Has this season made a difference in your life financially? We would love to hear from you. So please share your thoughts simply by sending your thoughts and ideas to ideas@unlockyourwealth.com, ideas@unlockyourwealth.com. And if we have permission to use that in our websites, please be sure to let us know if that's okay to publish your ideas. You'll be kept anonymous if you choose to do so, and will be as anonymous as full first name and first initial of last name if you would prefer. But please send us your ideas at ideas@unlockyourwealth.com and let us know what you thought of this season. Again, July 1st is Declare Your Financial Independence Day. I've noticed through the broadcast I've seen a few declaration requests coming in through the email, so I'm looking forward to printing those out and sending them off to you in addition with your Season 1 CD of $30 value, all for taking charge of your financial wellness and independence today. I'm Heather Wagenhals. Thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our broadcast today. Thanks so much for the Punch Debt in the Face Ninja losing his interview virginity with us today. Again, next Saturday, January Jones. I'm so excited. But before then, start your day the millionaire way with us on Tuesday mornings at 6:30 in the morning. Thank you so much for joining us, and here's to your financial independence. Finally, financial independence can be yours.